Every entrepreneur has been there.
Growing pains
obstacles make you stronger.
Gains.
It's the challenges that cause us to level up.
The Company Growth Podcast inspires you to keep going through the pain. I'm your host, Alicia Dominico.
The management team at this call center did not agree with me. So they felt quite differently. They looked at employees like they were disposable. And it was a very, very difficult experience for me going through it. It never just clicked. So if you have ever ridden the Toronto subway, the TTC Rocket in Toronto, and you have looked out any of the windows on that train, all the glass and windows came from this facility.
This is the voice of Cindy Wilson. Right now, she's describing the company she works for, Becloat Manufacturing, and how they supply a product we've all encountered in our lives.
The Vancouver SkyTrain windows are from this facility, and as well as a significant number of ferries and other locomotives. But for the most part, if you are sitting at a train crossing in North America, and you see a locomotive go by, on the cab windows, there's cab slider windows on the locomotive, and there is a, I believe it's a higher than 90% chance that those windows came from this location here in Belleville, Ontario. So I actually started my HR career at a very large call center, and I worked there for about a year. It was a very uncomfortable first experience in HR, if I'm honest. So the atmosphere at this particular call center was quite different than what I had pictured my life in HR was going to be. Again, I was coming out to change the world. I was here, you know, my vision was very much the employees are number one. They're all that matter in an organization. Your employees are, no question, your number one asset. And the management team at this call center did not agree with me. So they felt quite differently. They looked at employees like they were disposable. And it was a very, very difficult experience for me going through it. It never just clicked. And I really started to question whether HR was the right thing for me. I started to wonder if, you know, what I had been told in school was sort of a bill of goods and that this was the reality of what HR was going to look like. The call center ended up going through a major restructuring. They lost a huge contract, and I was laid off as part of that restructuring, being the newest person in the HR department. Again, thinking now at this point, my career is over. I've been laid off. That means I lost my job. You know, nobody's ever going to hire me again. I'm green as grass at this point. I just had no idea. So I continued to look for, I thought, well, I'll give HR one more chance. You know, I've got this big load of student debt there for me, so I should probably just, you know, give it another chance. So I went back, continued to apply for other jobs, and was hired at a local manufacturing organization. Now, uniquely at that place that I had worked at, they hired me because I had both my materials management and my human resources management, because they were a startup facility in Belleville, and they were quite small, and they needed someone who could do HR, health and safety, logistics, purchasing, basically all the administration, IT, everything that was going to happen at the location. So they thought, wow, this is kind of unique. She has sort of the background in all of it. And as I started to work there and really started to get a real view of what HR was, I just became more and more passionate about it on a regular basis. And every day it just felt more and more like the right thing for me to do. I was working for an organization that cared about their employees. They weren't perfect, but they cared. They tried to do the right thing. And it really gave me a different view of what HR was going to look like. So I was there for about 6 years, and one of the things I realized through my experience there was because I was responsible for doing things like shipping or doing things like purchasing, it was actually making me significantly stronger on the HR side, because I wasn't just focused on what the people needed, but I was focused on what the people needed and how that was going to benefit the organization in the long run.
Beklawat is an impressive operation with employees from different backgrounds when it comes to age and education. Cindy explained how Beklawat manages to take all these people and turn them into cohesive teams.
So what we do is very, very technical. We're working off of drawings on a regular basis. And our employees have a varying degree of knowledge. So because we do have a very long length of tenure here, so our average length of service is over 15 years. And we've had an extreme amount of growth where half of our employees have been hired in the last 5 years. So if that says anything to you about the employees that were here before 5 years from now, they've all been here for a very, very long time. And so there's a wide degree. Everyone obviously can look at a blueprint and understand it, but we're not all talking the same language because the education that each person has taken has widely varied over the course of, 30 or 40 years in between those moments. So what we're trying to do, it's something that we identified, is we'd like to get everybody on the same page so that we are all talking the same language between each other. And we thought that that may make things a lot smoother, especially with some of the generational gaps that do exist. If at least they're talking the same language, that's going to help bridge that gap quite a bit.
So, across the teams.
Yes. So right now we have worked, like I said, worked with them to put together blueprint reading, some other technical training, GD&T, some lean manufacturing, some respect in the workplace training, and every single one of our employees is getting to go through that and upskill in order to better support, especially as we are working towards standardizing drawings, bringing in external standards, and putting in our planning and scheduling project, which is going to really require people to speak the same language, I guess.
I wanted Cindy to talk about the unique secret ingredient that every successful company uses to grow. What was the secret for Beklawat? What is that extra step that means we see Beklawat products in over 90% of the trains that go by?
I honestly think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we work lean and mean. So we're a small team. For many, many years, up until about 5 years ago, Beklawat was about a 25-person plant. So for the, from 1976 until probably, 2010 anyway, they were, a 25-person team. So it's easy to get to know each other, and you have to rely on each other because there is no one else. So even when, we were purchased in 2005 and, a corporate model did come in, or a more corporate model started to come in at that point, everyone here still had each other's back. And so I think it really just is the culture. I think they came by it naturally, and it was easy for the employees to sort of create that culture because they knew that they were appreciated. They were able to walk directly into the general manager's office and bring up a concern. They'd see the general manager on the production floor, building windows beside them on, mm-hmm. on a day where it was busy and we were trying to meet a customer requirement. And I think that really gives people the sense that, we're all in this together.
Team spirit and cohesion is definitely part of the magic that makes Beklawat run so successfully. But what's a practical example of that? I asked Cindy if she could elaborate on what makes the Beklawat team so efficient.
Yes, internal customer service is probably one of the most critical components of a really well-functioning team.
What do you mean by internal customer service?
I guess for that, I mean, the consideration of what the person who's going to be touching that next has to go through. So it's things like, let's say, for example, you're in the packing area and you are packing the windows at the end of the day. And you know that the shipper who ships the product needs to know the serial numbers that are in each crate in order to ship that product out. So it's a matter of that person taking the time to write down the serial numbers as they put it in, so the next person doesn't have to come and reopen it and go through in order to find that information. And I think that's something that, there's always room for improvement on these types of things, but I really think it's something that we do well, where we take into consideration, okay, What does your world look like, and why do you need this information, and what information can I provide to you to make your job a little bit easier and smoother?
Awesome. Yeah, I think that's really cool. And it's something that we should all be teaching and thinking about as a standard of professionalism in any workplace.
Absolutely. And I think for us, it's been a little bit easier because there's no niche roles. So I think everyone's had an opportunity to be on the other side of the coin. Mm-hmm. And so it allows people to sort of understand, when I did it, it was so much easier if this information came to me. So now I can provide that and it'll make it easier for that next person.
We've talked a lot about the pandemic and its effects on business on this podcast, but that's because each company had such unique problems they faced when the pandemic started. I asked Cindy how Baclawat's strong teamwork held up at the start of 2020.
Well, so it was definitely a unique challenge that we've never been through before. Safety is no question the most important thing to us here at Baclawat. The safety of our employees, and that's not just their physical safety, but also their emotional safety, is extremely, extremely critical to us. Again, we go back to if we take care of our employees, they're going to take care of our business. And that's really the philosophy that we like to have here. So when it happened, nobody knew anything. The world was unsure. There was announcements coming out. So what Baclawat decided to do was we were lucky that we had a scheduled spring shutdown that was actually scheduled for the last week of March in 2020. And then we had a scheduled summer shutdown that was scheduled for in July. So when they first announced the original shutdown in Ontario, and we weren't sure what they were deeming essential and whether we were going to be essential or not, we decided to close the plant and take our two shutdown weeks immediately. So the 1 week was already scheduled, so we took the third week of March off. And we decided to close down for those 2 weeks to give us time to review all the legislation that was coming out from the Ontario government, to review whether we were deemed essential, and if we were deemed essential, to determine how we were going to be able to reopen this plant and ensure that every single person who entered this building on any given day was going to be 100% safe to be here. So we gave everyone vacation time for those times. Again, planned vacation. And spent 2 weeks reading legislation, reading medical reports, as much science as existed at the time, reading recommendations from the Ministry of Labor, and determining what protocols we were going to put into place in order to make sure that everyone was safe. So there was a lot of management meetings that we were all doing via phone from our homes, trying to connect with each other and figure out exactly how we were going to make sure. So we were able to determine, again, we're very blessed in some ways, that because of the size of the building, that we were actually able to create a home for each employee. So each employee would be able to have an area on their own where they could have, more than 2 meters of distance from anyone. So basically each person got a 2 meter squared section cut out of the production floor, and that would be their home area where they could work safely without use of masks and that sort of thing. We immediately implemented a sanitization program. So we doubled up on what the recommendations were. So they were recommending, twice a day. We're running a straight day shift. We're doing it every 2 hours. So we're running four times a day. So building redundancy into our plan so that, if something were to happen and one were to get missed, we were still always going to be on the side of compliance and making sure that everyone was safe. So we really pivoted and did everything that we possibly could. So when we actually got back to the facility and started to work again, we returned to work on April 13th, I believe. And we got consistent feedback over, the first 2 weeks that we were back, that people felt safer here than anywhere else. I was hearing people say, I feel safer at work than I do at home right now. So it was really an incredible experience to see that, our employees really had confidence that what we had done was going to keep them safe. So that was the safety piece of it, that obviously there was a significant other impact with COVID, with, you know, supply chain management, and because some of our key vendors shut down during that time as well, and then they were behind trying to come back. So there was a whole bunch of unknowns. And basically, we rolled with it as best as we could. The main thing that we stayed focused on was keeping our lines of communication open with our customers and our employees. So we made sure that we were meeting on a regular basis with our employees to provide them with regular updates. We know not everyone was, you know, reading the news or keeping up to date. So we would sit down and we would meet with everyone and you know, let them know what the current numbers were looking like, let them know what, you know, new reports were on science and how things were spreading and where things were at and what protocols and things we could put into place in order to keep each other safe. And just regularly communicating that. And at the same time with our customers, you know, I think everyone understood that there were some delays because of this global pandemic, but it was never an excuse to not provide excellent customer service for us. And so the key component was communicating those delays and letting them know what we were expecting and being as transparent as we possibly could be in order to make sure that no one felt let down at the end of the day.
So you guys flexed the muscle, you got ready. I think even, you know, the people who were inspecting you for compliance at the provincial level were impressed with what you had achieved so quickly.
Yes. Yes, when we were inspected by the Ministry of Labor, they came in, they did a quick inspection. They said that we had gone well above and beyond. The comment was made to us that, you know, they don't give out gold stars, but if they did, we definitely would have achieved one, which was really an incredible compliment to us, that they felt that we had gone above and beyond, because we were quite happy to have them here, because if there was anything that we were missing, we would have wanted to know about it to ensure that we were doing everything possible to keep everyone safe.
I've always been fascinated by the reach of manufacturing and the scope of the industry, and how so many people are unaware of these massive operations that bring us literally all the objects we use in our everyday lives. Sometimes we aren't even aware that the place where these things are built are in our own cities or towns. So I had a special question for Cindy. As a kid, I remember driving around in cars so often, and you'd see these office buildings and what I now realize are called industrial parks, and you'd see the sign and the colorful logos, and you'd be like, I have no idea what happens behind there. So talk to us about your manufacturing facility and maybe some of the projects in transit that you have worked on.
Awesome. So like I said, Bekalowat, we're a small facility. So really here, our employees, no one has a niche role. We all have sort of that entrepreneurial attitude. We're all so passionate about Bekalowat and what it does. You know, we believe the company takes such good care of us, so we want to take good care of it. So everyone's willing to roll up their sleeves and do whatever we need to do in order to get things done. So no one's working in a niche role. No one's focused on sort of one area. We all chip in and do what we need to. Bekalowat is not traditional manufacturing. This is not assembly line work by any means. Really what it is more of a job shop fabrication. Every window and door that we do is very custom for our customers. We don't have a catalog of products available. So there is a lot of uniqueness to each type of window and door that we're building. So when it comes to the facility, we have about half and half office production staff. And we're running on a straight days, Monday to Friday shift. And basically, our employees are doing a lot of job shop type tasks. So we're, a lot of machine trade fundamental type activities. So there's welding happening. We do have some CNC happening. We have a grinding department and a bending department. And basically what we're doing is taking aluminum or steel extrusion. We then bend it into the form, depending on the customer specifications. It'll then go through our welding and grinding departments to get the aesthetic appeal that the customer is looking for. And then moves over to our assembly department, where our team of assemblers will work on putting it together. And again, here, it's not an assembly line by any means. Each person would build a window from sort of start to finish. So they have the ability to really put their touch on each window. I always say that what we're doing is a little bit more of an art than it is a science. We are a family here. We're beyond a team. This is a family. This is a place where, you know, the company doesn't just care about you as an employee, but they care about your spouse. They care about your children. They care about your pets. Once you're part of the Beklawat family, you're in the crew.
For more information on Beklawat Manufacturing, visit beklawat.com, BECLAWAT.com. Find more episodes of the Company Growth Podcast on YouTube or at anchor.fm/Company Growth Podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've got a company growth story you'd like to share, reach out to Tangible Words. We'd love to hear your story and use it to inspire others to beat their own company growing pains. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Company Growth Podcast.